This is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
So Larry Ringland from Ironstone and Robin
Redinger.
She is a registered arborist.
Certified arborist.
Yeah. Certified arborist. She works for Larry. So this is about
we work together.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so they're here to talk about Ironstone and the beautiful grounds and some of the history, and we need to ask lots of questions.
Yes.
And we put in probably, in the wintertime, 150 flats of flowers, and in the springtime, probably 200 to 300 flats of flowers. So this was the first wedding. We were doing something, and they made me build a bridge across this creek drainage ditch, and that's the bridge. Now it's a real pretty fancy bridge. Now it looks like that. It's really changed. And this is the creek. This creek used to be over here, but it was right in the way of the winery, so it's actually a drainage ditch, not a creek. Although, on the county maps, it's actually got a name as a creek, which I can't figure that out, but they got a name.
What's the name?
Six Mile Creek.
Oh,
anyway, we moved it from here. I moved it over to here, and then afterwards, we put about 250 tons of limestone boulders in it, and then we planted all that.
Where does the water come from for this creek?
I pump it out of the lake, 1,900 feet to the front entrance, and drop it in. It does two things. It looks cool, and the other thing is it aerates the water in the lake so that it doesn't get stagnant or weird. Because it's easy for lakes to go bad unless you let a lot of vegetation grow in it to compensate for that.
Right.
So this is I call this the canyon trail. Before it was a canyon trail, it was a drainage ditch, and we went ahead and decorated it so it would look good and stuff like that. And later on, we made a pathway that goes along here and goes up. It's a great, we got two places like that. They're both really cool ecosystems. This one here has got a lot of lizards and frogs and snakes and all sorts of really cool stuff that lives in there, turtles.
And the trees are now, what, 150
bigger.
Feet high?
Yeah,
now you can't look through that. But there again, you know, if for those of you that know different kinds of plants and stuff like that, because we bought a whole lot of stuff from nurseries, we didn't pay a lot of attention, a little bit, but not as much as we should have, as far as this plant needs a lot of water, this plant needs no water. So we did it, we planted everything, and this is what Don Bowes was so good at, colors and textures. And when you go out there in the fall or the spring, and all the different grays and blues and reds and all that kind of stuff, it really paid off to pay attention to that. But if it didn't live, we dug it up. We didn't try to replant it, we just put something that we learned that would grow there. Because that's one of the gardener's rules, is you got to know what the light is and so we learned a lot of this by the hard way. I could write a book, Gardening by Mistakes. We learned it. This is Easter. Somebody got the right idea that our mascot should be a rabbit. Okay, this is just a picture of the snow. These letters are 16 feet tall and 4 foot high.
And they're Escalonia.
We have to prune them three times a year. It's Escalona. And one of the reasons we did it in Escalona, two reasons. One, we had a bunch of them. The other thing is they get this really beautiful pink flower. Mm-hmm. And we thought, how cool would that be to have Ironstone in pink? Well, here's the catch-22, is before it gets to that point, you have to prune it. Because if you let something get too big before you prune it, it gets rank. So then when you cut it, it really looks like you cut it. So you have to be on top of the pruning thing all the time. So we get about, everybody knows, we get about 6 inches of snow a year. I've seen as much as 18 inches at one time up there, and as little as 2 inches. But we get a little dusting all the time. Some plants like it, some plants don't like it. That's the canyon drain, or going through the park.
Wow. Those are like bulbs.
That is 1 ton of daffodil bulbs.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know, I got to burn my bottom and said, what does that look like? So we got a ton, we ordered a ton, and then I dumped them out on the ground and my guy stood behind him. So that's 17,000 bulbs.
Yeah.
Now we planted 68 tons.
Wow.
So there's not 68 tons still left out there for a couple reasons. One, we had a 10-year drought and it's difficult to water all over the place. And the other thing is bulb salesmen are notorious for selling you bulbs that don't naturalize because they want you to buy more bulbs. And I didn't learn that for a while. I thought he was like my really cool bulb friend. And he actually was a really good friend, but he sold me a lot of bulbs that last maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and so on. I'd have four of my original bulbs that I planted back in early 90s. There's three varieties that really did well. This is what it looks like for bulb season. There's 500 half barrels. We have 100 different kinds of daffodils, 108 different kinds, and 98 different kinds or colors of tulips, and hyacinths, Dutch iris, and crocus, which you think is easy, but see this lip? We do that lip for lots of reasons, but one, is so the plants don't fall over and stuff. But when it snows, if you don't cover 500 barrels, you get 3 inches of snow in that. And then if you get another snow on top of it, that 3 inches turns to ice. And then it takes forever for it to go away. Now daffodils are really cool things because they create a lot of heat when they grow. So if you get ice on your daffodil, it'll make like a little igloo in there. And you could actually look through the ice and see the little hollow area. So I've had 6 inches of snow on this stuff, and in time, the plant actually melts the snow off. They don't die. And crocus will actually come through the snow. They like the snow. That's what it looks like after I've covered them all. This is just this was an area that used to be plumb full of daffodils. Now we're about half as good as we used to be. So that's my next. These are just patches we planted throughout the deal. There's maybe 100,000 there.
It's along
then,
the road?
Yeah, that's along the road. It doesn't look quite like that because we did lose so much. Although Robin and the crew got involved in planting an additional ton or 2 tons this year. Okay, anyway, we went the full 2,800 feet this year, but we planted four bulbs every 6 inches or 8 inches?
Oh,
6 inches?
They planted them closer than that.
So anyway, now I have a whole row of bulbs again.
Are they blooming now?
No, they're just, this is a peculiar year this year. It's it's an unusual growth. They're very uneven. So some of the older bulbs are already up and blooming and some of the other ones are just barely coming out. Of course, you all know bulbs are early, medium, and late bloomers. So, I mean, you're going to get that staggered thing anyway, but in the barrels, some of them are like 4 inches tall and some of them are an inch tall. But that's just the weather.
Yeah.
And with this kind of warm weather, it really makes it hard on them.
It's just Mother Nature. That's a great picture.
Then every year, you all know that we do the daffodil show. That's coming up pretty quick. If you've never been to one, you should go once, at least. This is Steve Gouts. That's okay. These are some of my guys. This is what the daffodil show looks like. There's usually several hundred different kinds.
Now that Daffodil Hill is closed, we're actually trying to fill that void. That's what I heard.
Trying to. We always cooperated with them because they were a unique thing in all themselves. In fact, I gave them a lot of bulbs. Just so they would keep going because they had a later season, so we'd be earlier and they'd be later. But
is that on the stage?
Yeah, that's an overflow. I didn't have enough room around the winery and on the walkways, so we ended up having to put them down on the stage.
Wow. Hey, if that happens again, I'll give my address.
Yeah.
You got a truck and a, you know.
Yeah. I always say if you can lift a barrel by yourself, help yourself. No, it's gotta be full.
Don't tempt me.
Good luck tempting you.
You can't have help. So this is just an example. There's
So with all these flowers, when we do events, the amazing things that he can do with those barrels, and it just changes the whole landscape.
So this is an example of a gardener mistake. It wasn't even mine, it was a goo gardener. We have gazebos on this wisteria arbor. It's 400 feet long, and then every so many feet we have a square gazebo. And he thought, how cool would it be to put purple on the gazebos and the rest is a Chinese white wisteria, beautiful big white blooms. So the problem was, it's like the snake and the mongoose, they come out at different times. So the purple always comes out after the white. So it's, every once in a while, you get a little overlap, but it never comes out like they thought. Those are azaleas.
Azaleas.
Yeah. There's that 14 and a half ton rock right there.
Oh, man.
So in the spring, it's just amazing. It's the colors beautiful. Are just... And Robin wants to plant another 150 azaleas, so...
Deciduous azaleas.
No. That's just the lighting park area.
That's a great picture.
Some of the plants there, I don't even know the name yet. They're like oddball ones that were grown by the nursery, and some of them I was able to take to professional tree people. They know right away, you know, so you figure it out. But there's a lot of oaks. They have many, many different kinds of oaks. And now the oak guy is kind of gone, so. It's just set up for a wedding or a concert or something. We have amazing fall colors. Amazing fall colors.
Yeah, wonderful.
So do you have a schedule to prune all the trees, or you just do it as it's
Well, actually, required? Despite what everybody tells you, you can prune trees anytime you want, except for maple trees. Japanese maples want to be pruned in the spring. I haven't quite figured that out yet, because I used to prune them in the winter, too, and they all did fine. But it has to do with the sap flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then pines, conifers like to be pruned when it's cold, because they bleed so bad. But When we prune, we don't prune according to pruning rules. We prune for several different reasons, and the most reason is the safety of the public. So if you have a tree or a bush that's got branches that could poke your eyes, in fact, I even have the crew go through as if they're a customer and walk the pathways and the parking lot and all that, and if anything hits them or scrapes on them or anything like that, then we prune it and adjust it. And the other thing is for lighting. We have so much vegetation that if you let it grow in thick, in fact, this year we went through and we're thinning out the branches, and because every once in a while oak trees, you should cut the dead wood out anyway. But we've been thinning it out a little bit because they've gotten so large that the light will not penetrate through them. So during a concert at night, you don't get to see as well as you should. So those are the concerns that we do. And a lot of them, I don't want any taller than a certain height. So we do something really horrible called head pruning, which I just take them right back to the main branches, cut everything off. And I actually have companies that prune professionally come out and show their people what not to do.
But you got to do it.
They don't ever ask why I do it. They just say this guy doesn't know what he's doing, which is probably true.
But you got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like that liquid amber right there looks like a rocket. Uh-huh. Well, if you cut the top of that liquid amber off, you'd have a nice bushy round tree. It'll never be a rocket again. It just goes like this. So if you want something that looks like that with liquid amber color, you could do those things. And there's some pine trees that I try to deform, and God says don't. Scotch pines, man, they grow straight as an arrow. You can make them go this way and that way, and all of a sudden they're going straight. So it's been a challenge.
The one cool thing is the crepe myrtles. He prunes back hard every year, but because they flower on new wood, they look beautiful every year. They look great every year.
The hardest thing about gardens is you all got to know is that keep it looking the same all the time. That's tough. Either it gets too big or you cut it too hard. So to keep it looking basically the same as the trees and all that, it takes a lot of, the guys spend a lot of time pruning.
How big is your crew?
I have 12 people. I mean, I don't count myself. I'm not worth a darn. So this is This is one of the yucky gardening jobs at Ironstone.
Yeah.
This is what happens in the wintertime. You get a lot of silt. Sometimes it just comes in the air, but sometimes maybe somebody does something on a ditch or something, and then all the silt, everything drains down into my lake. And this is one of the main drain ditches right here. This is in the wedding park. And then every so often you have to go. This is what not to do when you're dumping grapes. So anyway, you gotta dig that mud out, because what it'll do is it just, all lakes fill in, so you have to keep working on them so they don't fill in. So this guy was dumping a load of grapes and he just tilted it too far. These are some chrysanthemums that we raised. Now chrysanthemums, you know, if you cut them twice, you get two blooms. That it?
For that one.
Oh.
I think the other one on with my name is the same.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the same. It's not something different.
Should we put this one in?
Do you want to switch to that one, Robin?
We could. It's just some pictures of flowers and stuff.
Is there anything you want to know about
sisters, right?
What I do, spraying or watering or irrigation or...
If you go in the spring and all the barrels have the beautiful tulips and hyacinths and stuff, which are so awesome. Now, how do you switch the whole barrels to the next season?
They don't do well in the ground. They don't normally. In Holland, they do well in the ground.
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
the barrels, do you? Because then later on, there's other things growing in the barrels.
I reuse them. What I do is, as the daffodils stop blooming, I have two screens that they pour them out on. They dump them out, and I sort out the daffodil bulbs. And the daffodil bulbs, I take the load and put in our cold storage. And the tulip bulbs, unfortunately, the tulip bulbs usually go into the garbage.
Oh, wow.
And the reason is I can't, even though I have a patch of tulips that's been there about 10 years. You can't expect the tulips to do a good job the next year. They're so hybridized that they change size, they change colors, they just get weird. And I didn't believe those guys. I thought they were fooling me, and I tried it, and it's true.
Okay. So you have to buy new bulbs every year?
I do. I buy probably 2 tons of bulbs. What I do is I take out the old daffodils and I plant them around the property. Because the gophers won't hurt them.
Right.
But the gophers love tulip bulbs. Yeah. So they're real edible. So if you want to find a gopher, put a tulip bulb, you'll find it. But I just get rid of them.
And then you plant the plants that are going to flower
once or twice. Then we use the barrel for something else. Now every 2 years I change out all the old soil.
There you go.
It took me a half a year to find out some really decent soil that drain, because they like good drainage. Uh-huh. They want to be wet all the time, but they don't want to be soaking. I learned the hard way. I use my own. I make the greatest humus out of oak leaves you'd ever want to put in a garden. Uh-huh. But I put it in barrels, and when the daffodils started coming up, I kept smelling this fermenting smell. Uh-huh. And what happened is, because of the rains, those oak leaves all piled up started to actually rot and ferment. And I had unplant all my backyard. I had about 200 barrels.
That's okay.
I unplanted everything and then replanted it in a different. And I found a soil that you put the water in, it goes right through. It only holds a little moisture, but it drains off right away. So every other year I change that because of the disease you get. The soil gets a bacteria in it, then pretty soon. We had a problem with that this year with the pansies. They were started to wilt and stuff, and it turned out to be a fungus that I was able to stop with a fungicide, but I don't like to spray, so I'm going to be more careful with my soil. Yes.
So is that why you planted the barrels? Is the drainage or is it the
shape? Okay, just go down here and advance.
No, they just the humus, really heavy humus, holds water like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it and you can squeeze it and it'll squeeze out your hands. Like if you go down and buy a really good chicken manure soil and you put it in a pot, when you water it, see all the black stuff that drains out the bottom and makes an ugly mess on your patio? I don't use any of that stuff either, because I learned the hard way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So these are pictures Robin took. So it's more up to date stuff. That's the breezeway. That's the lake. This is from our pump house, which is our lunchroom and, oops, now we're skipping around.
I know. This is going to be messed up here, so that's the breezeway now when it's all covered.
Now, the breezeway, we have different ways of doing chemicals in wine, but in the beginning, they used the nitrogen gas, and if something happened with the nitrogen gas, it would form a layer, like a thermal layer like this, and it would kill everything in that layer. It would just smoke it. I'd come in the next day, and I'd know right away they broke a pipe, like a little hose or something, because all that plant material would be gone. So this is just ivies and stuff that I planted. These came from Mr. Couts' house. The original one came from Hawaii, just palm trees, Seiko palms. It's hard to grow in the breezeway because of all the light problems and irrigating problems and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hold on here. I don't know why it's doing this, but...
That's the front entrance. That's what the daffodils all lined up. I wish they could make daffodils the same color as tulips.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Once the tulips are out, nobody wants to look at the daffodils anymore because of the colors. I'll tell you a funny garden story. John Couts and I went to a farmer's dinner one night, and on the tables they had these really cool hyacinths that smell good. And so I made a very big mistake. I left John with my bulb salesman one day. I had to go do something and come back, and then later on when I received my bulb thing, I had all these grape hyacinths, and I don't know about grape hyacinths, but they're little tiny flowers. I bought 10,000 of them. He expected them to look like that. So when they finally were blooming, where's all my hyacinths, my grape hyacinths? He's thinking they're going to look like Zinfandel, you know. So I took them down there. When you put them all together, they're pretty cool. You
they
put about
really
400
good.
Bulbs in a barrel,
yeah.
It makes you squint. It's so pretty. And every one of those barrels is between 70 and 100 bulbs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Every one of them. Except for the 5-gallon buckets is leftovers. We do. The best daffodils I found are ice follies. They're Dutch masters, but they're.
Aren't they good?
What's the king? Something king.
Oh, yeah. King Albert.
King Alfred's were the original daffodil everybody recognized. Well, they don't make King Alfred's anymore. That's the thing of the past.
Now they say type.
King Alfred type, and they're Dutch masters. And then Barrett Brownings. But anyway, they're good naturalizers. I have them along the road since the original planting. And I got my original 2-ton of bulbs because John's doing me a favor, and he went to an auction, and they auctioned them off because this company was selling them, and they couldn't sell the rest of them, so John bought them real cheap. So he had back
some
the 2 tons of
inside
daffodil bulbs.
Culinary center.
Oops. How funny, all these were right on my computer.
Those are a type of iris.
I saw you guys get it.
These are wall hangers. If you take the barrel and mount it on the wall.
Good one. Good save.
So we now sticker all the barrels with names hidden, and then we put a little metal tag up there, and people don't have a tendency to take the metal tag too much, but when I used to just put it, like I used to use tongue depressors, and I'd put 3 of them in there, and at the end of the season they wouldn't be there, then I wouldn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I used to try to plant them the following year, and it's really, if you don't do it right when the bulb guys come and they see that you name something wrong, they ridicule you.
I'm just That's doing crazy. This real quick while he talks because you guys don't need any.
Yeah.
Any.
Now what is that?
That's daffodil. A daffodil. It's a Tahiti, I think.
I think it is.
There's 10,000. There was 10,000 different kinds of daffodils. I saw a book that had all the names. There aren't that many now, but they're constantly propagating new names and types and
colors.
But their bulb growers actually lose 40% of their bulbs every year.
Oh,
that's just because of the bulb fly. I don't know if you know what gets them, but there's a little thing that looks like a bee and lays an egg on the flower, then the worm hatches and goes down the stem into the bulb. Oh. And you don't know what's in there until you go to plant it again and no flower comes up. Because the bulb fly guy eats all the insides of the bulb.
What kind of a water system do you have? Is it centralized? Is it zoned?
No, the water system's kind of unique because I also learned the hard way. I had everything on automatics, and after I irrigated the first wedding, I didn't go over so big. So most of our irrigation is actually my guys know when to water. And actually, when the guys look at the ground, they know when to do it. If you just go by a clock, sometimes you don't get enough water, you get too much water, and so on. The only thing I have automatic timers, and I irrigate at night, and that's the turf. And it takes from 3 o'clock until 9 o'clock the next morning to get across the turf.
Wow.
My biggest mistake, because I got the job because I was originally pouring concrete. That's what I was doing at the winery at first. And then I kept telling John, you're landlocking yourself. You're not putting any pipes in. What happens if you have a garden and stuff? Because the garden was only supposed to be little. And then as the project got bigger, the gardens got humongous. And so I kept putting pipes in, and then pretty soon he said, well, why don't you just figure out doing that job? So this brings me back to what we were talking about earlier. There's different kinds of gardeners. There's a designer gardener that goes out and figures out all this really great stuff. And then there's an installer gardener who actually knows sort of how to install it, but they don't maintain it. Then there's a maintenance gardener, and those are the guys that really take it hard because they put the pipes in the wrong place, they overlap the pipes, you can't fix them and do all this kinds of stuff. And then you have actually gardeners like you guys. You guys are gardeners. You know what it means to spray, you know what it means to prune properly. Those folks are hard to find to come and work for a little above minimum wage. And there's a lot of ugly junk that goes along with working for me. Robin has experienced that because she was in the belief in the beginning that it was like working at your house where you get putts. I don't need no putzer. I had one putzer one time and it didn't take me long to get rid of her because she could not break away from that. So when somebody goes in and takes and prunes a bush and takes them a half a day, my guys have to go in and 20 minutes later have the bush prune. Because it's like a bridge. You paint the bridge, you got to go back and paint it again. In the same way with the gardens in Ironstone, you got to keep on it all the time. And that's why I said we do a lot of, probably, if you were to look at it, you would say, why did you prune that way? Well, that's because that's what we kind of had to do. And I can't have any more than employees than I have.
Right.
This is one of my favorite combinations right here. It's a white maple. I don't know. I've never seen a white maple before, but with the
deficient something. No.
Let's hope not. It's with the burning bush, euonymus. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, fall at the winery is absolutely spectacular. I think it's probably one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, and every time
I love all the flowers, but
every time we lose something and we plant another tree, we make sure it's got good color now because we missed the mark. We should have. I had probably 5,000 liquid ambers at one time in three different nurseries, and I literally gave them away to people in Murphy's and different parts of towns and stuff like that. I wish I had planted them all along the road because it would have been amazing. Someday I still might do something like that. But any other questions?
I just want to say that you're a great speaker.
Oh, you guys are easy to talk to.
Thank you for coming out.
Yes. Well, it's always fun to have you.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.